الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The discourses of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, with beneficial points from the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah. Attar's supplication. O Lord of the beloved Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the booklet, the discourses of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, make them a saint and forgive them and their parents without accountability. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyyin Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Excellences of reciting Salat upon the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Sayyiduna Ubay bin Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu once said, I will spend all my time reciting Salat. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, this will suffice all your worries and lead to your sins being forgiven. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The excellence of remembering pious predecessors. Sayyidina Sufyan bin Uyayna rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, inda dhikri salihin tanzilu rahmah. Mercy descends when the righteous are mentioned. If mercy descends when pious people are mentioned, imagine the kind of mercy that descends when Allah's saints are spoken about. In this regard, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh is the leader of the saints. One cannot imagine the abundant mercy that descends at his mention. Righteous people and the saints of Allah, especially my spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, will continue to be spoken of highly, insha'Allah. Completing the noble Qur'an in prayer daily for 15 years. My spiritual guide, the crown of the saints, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, said the following to highlight the bounties Allah Almighty bestowed upon him. Giving advice to his admirers and aspirants, he explained, Alhamdulillah, I spent 25 years wandering in the wilderness of Iraq, and for 40 years I offered Fajr prayer with the ablution performed for Isha. For 15 years I completed a recitation of the noble Quran daily in the voluntary prayer I would offer after Isha. Initially, I tied a rope around myself and fastened its other end onto a wall fixture. This way, whenever sleep overcame me, the rope would tug at me and my eyes would open. The Shaykh added, one night, I wanted to begin my usual routine of worship. Myself told me to sleep a while longer and do this later. As soon as this thought occurred to me, I stopped where I was. And this happened to be as I was on one leg. Then and there, I recited the entire noble Qur'an standing on one foot. O devotees of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, you have just heard, my spiritual guide held himself to account in remarkable fashion when it tried to have him bring just a slight delay into his acts of worship. This, how extensively the Shaykh would worship Allah Almighty. On the other hand, if we claim to love the Shaykh, yet cannot even offer our 5 daily prayers, how can we be truthful in our claim? This is certainly food for thought. Remember, if we give in to even the smallest desires presented to us by Satan or our lower self, they will make us succumb to even greater ones. For example, somebody wakes up for Fajr and thinks, there's plenty of time left. Azan is still being recited. I can join the congregation later. This leads to the person falling asleep and missing his prayer entirely. Also, bear in mind, if a person cannot awaken for Fajr due to sleeping late, and nobody else is available to wake them up, it is now a must for them to sleep earlier. The noble Islamic jurists say, if it is feared that a person will not wake up for Fajr, it is now forbidden for him to sleep late without a necessity stipulated by Islamic law. Three important points. The influential speeches of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh contain amazing points we can all learn from. The Shaykh writes in his book Futuh Al-Ghayb, page 17, Muslims must always bear these three points in mind. Number one, they must always obey Allah's commands. Number two, refrain from what He forbade. Number three, and remain content with divine decree. At an absolute bare minimum, they must always be adhering to one of these. In other words, these three points must be a part of a Muslim's character. O devotees of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, rahmatullahi alayh, let us pause for a moment and reflect. Do we find ourselves acting upon this statement of the Shaykh? Of course, prayer, zakat, hajj and fasting are obligatory for Muslims upon the presence of certain conditions. Do we act upon these commands of Allah Almighty? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explained how Islam is founded on five things. Number one, to bear witness there is no God besides Allah and that Muhammad is His distinguished servant and messenger. Number two, to establish prayer. Number three, to pay zakat. Number four, to perform hajj. Number five, to fast in Ramadan. In another hadith, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, Allah likes for His bestowed obligations to be acted upon. Saints of Islam are bound by Islamic law. O devotees of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, rahmatullahi alayh, our spiritual guide informed us, refrain from what Allah has forbidden. If only we were successful in doing this. The final Prophet of Allah, our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, Saints of Allah offer prayer. They perform the five daily prayer made compulsory by Allah, fast in Ramadan seeking reward, happily give zakat seeking blessings, and avoid the major sins declared forbidden by Him. In Kashf al-Asrar, the following hadith is mentioned. Refraining by the smallest degree from what Allah has forbidden is greater than all acts of worship carried out by jinn and mankind. It is better to avoid hurting the feelings of a Muslim than to offer 1,000 units of voluntary prayer. Avoiding backbiting once is greater than all the acts of worship performed by jinn and mankind. As we can see, there is great importance to avoiding sin. Avoiding harm is preferable to drawing benefit. Although the latter is undoubtedly good, the former is of greater importance. One should not sin under any circumstance and spend their time in good deeds, ensuring to never slow in this endeavor. Action that produces efficacy in speech. The erudite scholar Imam Ahmad al-Sawi rahmatullahi alayhi elucidates, whoever acts upon what Allah Almighty has ordained, avoids what He forbade, does good deeds, and calls mankind to Him, their words are listened to and bear efficacy upon the hearts of others. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The blessings of acting upon the words of the crown of the saints. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi announced, when you obey Allah, act upon His commands, avoid what He forbade, and accept what He decreed, He shall save you from evil and increase His bestowal of goodness upon you. Obey Allah Almighty day and night. The Shaykh also said, obey Allah Almighty day and night. If you do as such, you will find a crown of honor an esteem upon your head. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Difficulties and trials removed. In Tabaqat al-Kubra, Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi narrates the following statement of the Shaykh. In the early days, I encountered a vast spectrum of difficulties and trials. When they became abundant, I lay upon the floor in a helpless state and began reciting these verses of the noble Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fa'inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. So indeed there is ease with hardship. Surely there is ease with hardship. Alhamdulillah, by reciting these verses, all my difficulties were rendered easy. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Four quotes of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh mentioned, number one, fear of Allah Almighty. O slaves of Allah, do not become fearless of Allah Almighty. Instead, take it as a must to fear Him. If Allah Almighty had not created heaven and hell, even then, it was still His right to be feared and hoped from. Fearing Allah entails one's heart being fearful when contemplating Allah's independence, Him being displeased, His holding to account, and the punishment He may inflict. Obey Him, act upon His orders, avoid what He forbade, repent to Him, and humble yourself extensively before Him. When you repent to Him wholeheartedly and become consistent in performing good deeds, He shall grant you goodness. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number two, avoid disobedience to Allah Almighty. Think deeply when it is impossible to acquire the bounties of this temporal world without hard work, then how can you possibly attain that which is with Allah Almighty without effort? Referring to everlasting bounties. Here the Shaykh gives the example of a person who wants to go to paradise but does not perform good deeds. Advising us against this, he tells us to worship Allah Almighty and not to disobey Him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number three, preparation for death. O slaves of Allah, extinguish the lamp of your hopes. Fold away your shawl of selfishness. Perform prayer as though you are about to leave this world. It does not befit a believer for them to sleep without a written will at their bedside. They should consider every night as their last. Your eating, living, family interaction, and meeting with friends should all be done as though you are soon to depart. He whose lifespan and every affair is under the control of another should live in this way. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number four, opposition to the self and Satan. The self only encourages you to do evil. This is its nature. It takes a lengthy period to rectify. One must always strive against it. Address it and say, your good actions will benefit you, whilst your evil will be your misfortune. Nobody will help you or apportion you some of their deeds. This makes it critically important to perform good deeds and strive against the self. Your friend is he who stops you from falling into evil. Your enemy is he who misguides you. Until the self is cleansed from filth and impure desires, it will not draw close to Allah Almighty. uproot its hopes and desires, and it will become subservient to you. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. O devotees of the crown of the saints, the influential speeches and words of my spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, have transformed the lives of countless people. Thousands of non-Muslims accepted Islam due to them. Let us take a look at the Shaykh's beneficial discourse concerning jealousy. Before this, we will consider the definition of jealousy itself. What is jealousy? Jealousy is defined in Al-Fatawa al-Radawiyya as wanting a blessing to be taken away from another. So somebody has a blessing and you desire for it to be taken away. This is known as jealousy. For example, a person you know is famous and one hates this fact and wants their fame to be taken away. The same applies when seeing a rich person. Some become jealous and long for their money to go away. These are of all forms of jealousy. Some scenarios of jealousy. There are many scenarios when it comes to jealousy. One may be jealous of a person with a beautiful voice and hope for their throat to begin hurting or for their voice to be taken away. Some become jealous of an intelligent person and wish for their memory to be damaged. Others long for the strong to become weak. Having said this, if the strong person is a tyrant, it is not jealousy for one to wish their strength became weakness. Jealousy itself is forbidden and an action which leads to hell. An illness that destroys Satan's home. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi said, "My people, save yourselves from jealousy, as it is an exceedingly bad friend. Jealousy is a characteristic that destroyed Satan, distanced him from Allah's mercy, and made him bound for hellfire. Jealousy alone is what made Satan accursed in the eyes of the prophets, alayhimus salam, the angels and the rest of creation. How can somebody with common sense ever be jealous? Do such people not know that Allah Almighty says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Rather, they are jealous of the people due to that which Allah granted them from His grace. Dear Islamic brothers, it is clear Allah Almighty alone gives to everybody. A jealous person should think how being jealous of what Allah Almighty gave to somebody is to object to his apportioning. Jealousy consumes good deeds. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi narrates a hadith in which the final prophet of Allah, our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, declared, "Jealousy consumes good deeds the way fire consumes dry wood." Objection to Allah Almighty. The Shaykh warned, "My sons, practicing scholars, gave a very just explanation of jealousy. They tell of how it begins with a person's friend, which leads to the jealous individual ruining their friend's life. A jealous person raises objections at Allah's actions, what He created, and His divine distribution, because he is effectively saying, why did Allah give this to that person? Why did He make them so beautiful? Why did He make them so rich, etc.?" May Allah protect us from jealousy. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The enemy of Allah's bounties. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh said, "O believers, why do I see you jealous regarding that which Allah Almighty has granted your neighbors in terms of their food, clothing, marriage, home and wealth? This is Allah's divine distribution. Are you not aware? Jealousy will weaken your faith, debase you before Allah Almighty, and lead to Him displeased with you. Have you not heard this hadith Qudsi? Allah Almighty says, Al-hasidu aduwwun li ni'mati. A jealous person is the enemy of my bounty." Hadith Qudsi refers to a statement of Allah Almighty conveyed in the words of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The scholar and hadith expert Abdul Haq al-Dehlwi rahmatullahi alayhi elaborated on the example of a neighbor given by the Shaykh, saying, "By mentioning neighbors specifically, he highlighted how people usually seek to outdo their neighbors in these matters. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad." The Heedless. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi said, "O pitiful person, who are you jealous of? Are you jealous of what others have been apportioned or their destiny? Well, if this is the case, you envy the destiny granted to them by Allah Almighty." As he mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحن قسمنا بينهم عيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا. We have distributed the sustenance between them in the life of this world. You have exceeded limits if you do this. And who could then be more naive than you? If you covet what others have been given in comparison to yourself, you show ignorance, as Allah Almighty has not given your portion to anyone else, nor will anyone partake in it. All shall receive what they are given. Your share will not be taken away. So why do you burn in jealousy at what others have been bestowed by Allah Almighty? Why do you object to this? State of the one who lives a life of comfort and luxury on the Day of Judgment. The Shaykh once admonished, "O ignorant person, soon you will see how lengthy the accountability of your neighbor will be on the Day of Judgment, due to the bounties in their possession. If said bounties lead to them disobeying Allah Almighty, not fulfilling His rights, i.e. offering zakat and other necessary monetary obligations via adhering to His commands and not asking His help for them to worship Him, then on the Day of Judgment, they will wish to have not even attained an atom's worth of these bounties, or not even to have seen them. Have you not heard this hadith, in which Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, explained, when the afflicted are granted reward on the Day of Judgment, those who lived comfortably will lament and wish their skin was cut with scissors in the world. The longing of those that received bounties in the world on the Day of Judgment. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi declared, your neighbor with a host of bounties will stand tomorrow on the Day of Judgment for 50,000 years and give accountability in the blazing heat of the sun. When this happens, they will wish they had your humble abode in the world. Your neighbor enjoyed their bounties and extensively utilized them, whilst you were patient and content with divine decree. By Allah's mercy, on that day, you will be separate from your neighbor, shaded by the arsh, eating, enjoying blessings, and in bliss. O devotees of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, we should all be content with what Allah Almighty has given us. If a poor individual is patient, he will outstrip the wealthy in excellence. Poor individuals will enter paradise 500 years before the rich, who will be in the midst of accountability. The poor do not have money and thus avoid the resultant accountability that comes with it. Yet, this only applies to those of them who are patient. If they are irritated with the rich or burn in jealousy over their lack of wealth, they will not acquire these excellences. We find the Shaykh warning us, O slaves of Allah, be wholeheartedly content with what Allah Almighty has ordained for you. If He made you poor and others rich, if He decided you will be unwell whilst others enjoy good health, if He destined severe worry for you and ease for others, your patience upon all of this will lead to untold bounties for you beneath the arsh. May Allah make you and I from those who express gratitude to Him for His bounties, especially when we are struck with calamities. May He make us those who entrust all matters to Him. Allah Almighty declares in the noble Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wa ufawwidhu amri ila Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. I defer my affair to Allah. Surely Allah sees the people. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes regarding this, this should be recited when one has a problem or encounters their enemy, as it is uniquely beneficial. When calamity strikes or an adversary appears, recite this when you remember, and you will behold the blessings it brings, insha'Allah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani's distaste for the world. The crown of the saints, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, once received a letter addressed to him by a Seljuk king of Sanjar presiding over the realm of Nimruz. In this, the king expressed his wish to give the Shaykh some land as a gift, thus allowing the latter to live comfortably as he does. The Shaykh penned a four-line quatrain of Farsi poetry in response, which translates as follows. If my heart longs at all for the kingdom of Sanjar, then may my destiny become as dark as the Seljuk king's crown. I possess the treasure of midnight vigils. The realm of Nimruz is worth even less than a barley seed in my sight. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Poison disguised as honey. In another amazing discourse, the Shaykh explained, the attractions and comforts of this world are nothing but deception. Whoever attained them was tricked and fell into negligence. When you see the world in the hands of the worldly, replete with all its evils, distance yourself from them as you would if you saw somebody answering the call of nature. The way you cover your nose from the resulting foul smell, cover it from the world. The way you avert your gaze from them, turn yourself away from this too. Allah Almighty also instructed His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to not look towards these things with longing. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى. And O listener, do not focus your eyes on the pleasures of worldly life, which we have allowed various communities among them to take benefit from, that we may test them in this regard. And the sustenance of your Lord is the best and most lasting. Dunya ko tu kya jaane, ye bis ki gaant hai harrafa. Surat dekho zalim ki, to kaisi boli bali hai. Shahid dikhaye, zeher pilaye. قاتل دائن شوہر کش اس مردار پہ کیا للچایا دنیا دیکھی بالی ہے. Explanation of the poetry of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh talks about the fraudulent and deceptive nature of the world in these couplets. He exclaims, O slaves of Allah, what do you know of this world? It is unassuming in appearance, yet it is nothing but poison. It is like a trickster, making poison look like honey. It kills whoever loves it. It is an awful and rotten thing. No benefit comes from attaching one's heart to it. And this is proven time and time again. Sallu alal Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. This world is not a place of ease. An imam in the Qadariya, Razaviya, Attariya spiritual tradition and a scion of the Ahl al-Bayt, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq rahmatullahi alayhi announced, whoever yearns for the non-existent does nothing but to exhaust himself. He was asked what this non-existent thing was, to which he replied, comfort and peace in this world. Another renowned name in this spiritual tradition, Imam Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi states, I established a principle for myself due to which I am happy. This principle is, the world is full of tribulation and calamity. Whatever grief and calamity reaches me whilst I am in it, then this is its place. Sayyidina Abu Turab al Nakhshabi rahmatullahi alayhi explains, people ask for two things in this world they can never have, peace and happiness. These are only in paradise. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Encouragement to be content. The Shaykh, when discussing what it means to be content with divine decree, once said, as a must, ensure to be content with a small amount of sustenance until your time comes to an end and you are taken towards betterment. Then you should know that your share will not cease, even if you were not to ask for it. As for whatever is not in your share, you will not receive it by asking for it due to avarice. Be content with whatever condition Allah Almighty keeps you in. Be happy with whatever He decrees in your regard. Value the doors to goodness. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam proclaimed, whoever has the door of goodness open for them should value this, as they do not know when the said door will close. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi said, as long as life's door is open, consider it priceless and appreciate it, as it shall soon close. Perform as many good deeds as you can. You must also value the door of repentance and enter through it by repenting. The gatherings of righteous folk are another thing for you to value deeply. Serve others and you will be served. Touching on what happens if one truly obeys Allah Almighty, the Shaykh said, obey Allah and you will be obeyed by creation. Bow before what He decrees, and you will find that people will be subservient to you and serve you. Have you not heard? You reap what you sow. Allah Almighty does not inflict the smallest amount of injustice upon His slaves. He bestows much for even the smallest of deeds. When you worship and obey Allah Almighty, creation will begin to serve you. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Supplicate. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi was an accomplished saint. In fact, he is the imam and leader of them. He was the foremost religious authority, public speaker, caller to Islam and counselor of his time. His speeches, filled with wisdom derived from Quran and Hadith, left indelible effects upon listeners and changed their lives completely. Many accepted Islam or repented from their sins and began performing good deeds. His gatherings sometimes reached 70,000 attentive listeners. Certainly supplicate. Concerning supplicating to Allah Almighty and asking from Him, the Shaykh beautifully stated, "Do not say, 'I will not supplicate to Allah Almighty. I will get whatever is in my destiny, whether I ask or not.' Instead, you should ask Him for all goodness you require in both worlds. Do not pray for sin or impermissible deeds." He instructs us to pray to Him in the Quran, "Ud'uni astajib lakum," call upon me, I shall answer your prayer. In another verse, he declares, "Was'alu Allah min fadli," and ask Allah for His grace. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Encouragement towards supplication in Hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Supplicate to Allah with full certainty of acceptance." Shaykh Abdul Haq al-Dehlawi writes pertaining to supplication, "One should supplicate free from any doubt over its acceptance. When made in this fashion, supplication bears efficacy. Half-hearted supplications in which one says, 'Let's see if this is accepted or not,' should not be made. The opposite must happen. One must supplicate to Allah Almighty categorically, certain that He will accept it." The benefits of supplication. Commenting on this topic, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Do not say, 'I supplicate, yet Allah Almighty does not accept it.' Instead, consistently pray to Him, leaving no thought for whether one's supplication is accepted or not. If what you ask for is in your destiny, it will come to you, and your faith will be strengthened. If what you ask for is not in your destiny, Allah Almighty will avert it from your mind. If you owe a loan and you supplicate about this, Allah Almighty will turn the heart of the creditor away from you. The latter will excuse your loan, reduce it, speak to you softly regarding it instead of harshly, or ask for it to be returned later at your discretion. Eventually, the easiest scenario for you will come to the fore. If the creditor does not excuse or reduce your loan in this world, no matter, as Allah Almighty shall grant you unimaginable reward on the Day of Judgment in place of the supplications you made in the world, which did not bear visible effect. Allah is limitlessly generous and merciful. He turns nobody away empty-handed if they pray to Him. Your supplication will benefit you in one way or the other, in this world or the hereafter. Supplication is never wasted. It always leads to benefits. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. good deeds on the Day of Judgment for supplicating. A narration explains how on the Day of Judgment, Muslims will see certain actions recorded in their book of deeds, which they did not do or know anything about. It will be explained to them, this is the reward of that supplication you made in the world. Why is there delay in the acceptance of your supplication? The Shaykh counseled, O slaves of Allah, why do you become upset with Allah Almighty when there is a delay in the acceptance of your supplications? You say, Allah orders us to ask from Him and not from people. Yet when I pray to Him, my supplication is not accepted. Do not say this. O foolish soul, are you free or a slave? You are bound to obey Allah's commands or not? You are a disbeliever if you label yourself free, as this means you deny Allah's commands. If you consider yourself a slave, then you slander your Lord by saying He does not accept your supplications when you see no visible effect of them or notice delay in their acceptance. If only you did not think this, and instead attributed this delay to Allah's infinite wisdom. It is incumbent upon you to express gratitude to Allah Almighty because He has willed to grant you something better than you asked for by bestowing upon you His bounties, a reward in the hereafter. Dear Islamic brothers, do not say, Allah does not accept my supplications. We should instead think to ourselves as to how many things Allah Almighty has ordered us to do or refrain from, and how much we practice this. How much do we obey Allah Almighty? What divine commands of His do we follow? Think of it this way. We are the ones who do not listen to Allah's commands, yet somehow we begin complaining when He does not grant us what we want. Without doubt, Allah is all-seeing and all-hearing. He has promised in the noble Qur'an, أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Call upon me, I shall answer your prayer. Having said this, there are multiple ways in which supplications are accepted. As per the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, we had the honour of listening earlier. The reward of these supplications is saved for us to attain on the Day of Judgment, although we may not see their visible effects in this world. We will see them on the final day, inshallah. What should we beseech Allah Almighty for? My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh, talked about how we should supplicate to Allah Almighty. Entreat Him to forgive your past sins and save you from future transgressions. Beg Him to allow you to worship Him in excellent fashion. Beseech Him to bestow upon you an admirable death. Supplicate to meet the Prophets alayhimus salam, veracious, martyrs and the righteous. What pious company this is. Here the Shaykh advises us to supplicate so we can be raised alongside these righteous individuals on the Day of Judgment. Meet them and receive their blessings. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Ahsan al-wi'aya li-adab al-du'a. For more insight and knowledge about supplication, one can read Ahsan al-Wi'a li-Adab al-Du'a, written by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan's father, Shaykh Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi alayh. The Urdu version of this was given the title Fazail-e-Du'a and printed by Maktabatul Madina. Reading this shall greatly increase one's knowledge, inshaAllah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Working for the hereafter. O devotees of the crown of the saints, business people invest their capital to earn profit. Have you ever seen a person happy with profit without any regard for their capital? Nobody with common sense would do this. One's focus should be upon their capital assets, as without this, how can they earn financial gain of any kind? The latter is only attained with the former. Regarding the true capital and profit, a Muslim should be concerned with, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi said, take the hereafter as your capital and asset. Make the world the profit you earn from this. Spend your time acquiring the hereafter. Whatever free time you then have, spend it seeking worldly livelihood. Do not make the world your capital and the hereafter your profit. In other words, do not work for the hereafter in just your spare time. Do not rush your five daily prayer. Do not exhaust yourself in worldly endeavors to extend your sleep as though you have died, missing prayer in the process. Subhanallah. Reinforcing the points raised by the Shaykh here, let us look at what Shaykh Jalaluddin al-Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi said in this regard. Zindagi amad bara'e bandagi, zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. I.e. we have received life to worship Allah Almighty. This couplet emphasizes a reality corroborated by the following Quranic verse. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create jinn and mankind but to worship me. Dear Islamic brothers, life is not about amassing hordes of wealth and chasing money. We were given life so we can worship Allah Almighty. If we live without worship, we will be embarrassed and humiliated on the Day of Judgment. Whoever made the world their everything will leave it all behind when they die. The hereafter is what is truly critical. But this reality is something some of us have forgotten. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh expands on this in his poetry. Din lahv mein khona tujhe, shab subh tak sona tujhe, sharm nabi khauf khuda ye bhi nahi wo bhi nahi, rizq khuda khaya kiya farman haq tala kiya, shukr karam tar se saza ye bhi nahi wo bhi nahi. Explanation of the poetry of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh. In these couplets, the Imam attempts to alert those stuck in exclusive pursuit of worldly endeavors. He says these poor souls have turned their backs to worshipping Allah Almighty and spend all day in frivolity. They spend their nights devoid of dhikr, sleeping until morning. They do this despite the immense embarrassment they will experience on the Day of Judgment, when they must show their faces to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Imam also asks such individuals if they fear Allah Almighty at all, as their actions denote otherwise. The Imam says such people eat the sustenance given to them by Allah Almighty, but still disobey Him. Despite His countless favors and blessings, they do not thank Him and obey Him or fear He may punish them for their misdeeds. He laments their naivety, heedlessness and ingratitude. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Traverse the path of piety. The Shaykh announced, O foolish person, you were instructed to walk the path of serenity, which is the path of the hereafter and worshipping Allah. Instead, you acted upon the whims of your lower self and satanically induced desires. You have lost the goodness of both worlds. You will be poorest on the Day of Judgment in terms of good deeds. Consider the hereafter your real treasure, and you will be prosperous there as well as here. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explained, Allah bestows the world when intention is made for the hereafter, whilst He refuses to grant the hereafter for worldly intention. What happens when a person obeys Allah? The Shaykh stated, Allah announced in a book He revealed, O children of Adam, I am Allah. None is worthy of worship except myself. Things come into existence when I declare, Be, obey me, and I shall make it so that whatever you want shall come to pass. Allah also said, O world, you are to listen to whoever obeys me, and you are to plunge those who chase you into sadness and calamities. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Proximity to Allah's mercy. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi counseled, Turn the world down, focus on obeying Allah Almighty, and you shall become pious and loved by Him. You will be close to paradise and divine mercy. The world will serve you, and Allah Almighty shall grant you share of the world in full. Everything is under the control of He who created it. If you lose yourself in the world and ignore the hereafter, Allah Almighty will be displeased with you and the world will not bend to your conformity. The world will make your share of it reach you with utmost severity, as it is a servant under his control. It respects those who obey him. The example of this world and the hereafter. The fourth caliph of the Muslims, the Lion of Allah, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, clarified, The world and the hereafter are like east and west. The closer you are to one, the farther you are from the other. It can also be equated to two wives. If you make one happy, the other shall be upset. What do we seek, the world or the hereafter? Allah Almighty declares in the Noble Quran, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم منكم من يريد الدنيا ومنكم من يريد الآخرة. Some of you crave for the world, and some amongst you yearn for the hereafter. Deriving his discussion from this point, the Shaykh said, It is said there are worldly and religious people. You must ask yourself which category you belong to. Whilst you reside in this world, ask yourself which group you would not like to be associated with. Let us take this train of thought and apply it to the hereafter. There, one group shall be in heaven and the other in hell. Another will stand upon the plain of Qiyamah for 50,000 years due to their extensive accountability. Remember, the day of Qiyamah is 50,000 years long. Some will be shaded by the arsh, sat at a mat, replete with splendid food, various fruit, and honey whiter than ice. They shall behold their permanent abodes, until eventually the accountability of creation draws to a close. They enter paradise and head to their homes. Now ask yourself, are you worldly or religious? Are you a person of the world or hereafter? May Allah Almighty make us religious people who strive for the hereafter. Do bear in mind, being a religious person who works for the hereafter does not mean you expel your parents from a home or abandon your family. This means living alongside them, but prioritizing the hereafter and considering it in everything one does. Have a business, work, a job, yet offer your daily prayer. Worship Allah Almighty as much as you can. Avoid each and every sin. You are bound by Islamic law in this world, so ensure to act upon the sunnah. A person who does this is somebody who works for the hereafter. As for the one who is embroiled in interest, bribery, theft, fraud and other vices, and devours any income or benefit acquired from them without any regard, then such an individual is a corrupt worldly person. There is no sin in collecting permissible wealth. This would be considered love of the world, but in permissible fashion. Yet this is also not wholly approved, as it eventually leads to one being entrapped by money, potentially falling into negligence and being distanced from acts of worship and good deeds. This often occurs. The accountability one must give from permissible wealth on the day of judgment is particularly severe. You will be asked how you acquired it and from where, not to mention how you spent it. It is not easy to answer these questions. As for forbidden wealth, one will be punished for acquiring it. This world is a field to cultivate one's hereafter. The Sheikh explained, we will remember the good and bad we did in the world. When we are raised on the day of judgment, there will be no benefit to our embarrassment or shame then. There is no benefit in remembering the seed sowed at the time of harvest. Yet, there is immense benefit in remembering our impending death before our final moments. A hadith mentions, الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. The world is a field of cultivation for the hereafter. Whatever we sow here, we will reap in the hereafter. He who performs righteous and good acts in the world is truly worthy of admiration, as he will be handsomely rewarded. Those who did evil in the world will suffer embarrassment, shame, and painful punishment. Dear Islamic brothers, when somebody dies, people say, his eyes have closed for good. Their eyes have not closed, but been opened to the truth instead, as they see whatever is to occur after death directly before them, but they cannot do anything. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Trials according to one's rank. The Shaykh declared, Allah always tests those who believe in Him according to the strength of their faith. The stronger their faith, the tougher the test. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam announced, "Anna ma'ashiru al-anbiya'i ashaddu an-nasi bala'an." We, the assembly of the prophets, are the most intensively tested of people. Sayyids are constantly tested by Allah, so they may constantly remember Him and not fall into negligence. They are people of devotion, beloved to Allah. This discourse of the Shaykh offers much comfort to those feeling sad, broken-hearted, or restless. These tests and difficulties we experience are a means by which our sins are forgiven. Our ranks are raised due to them. Allah sends His mercy upon us when we go through them. A hadith clearly states, when Allah loves a nation, He causes trials to come upon them. No matter what happens, we should be pleased with whatever Allah decrees for us. This is best for us in both worlds. The Shaykh added, mankind is riddled with many forms of sin, shortcomings and crimes. Those mired in sin are not capable of gaining proximity in the court of Allah Almighty until they purify themselves from this. Just by way of explanation, you can only sit next to a king if you are clean and do not emit any unfavorable smell. Calamities and problems expiate one from sin and remove them completely. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam proclaimed, a night of fever is expiation of a year. Shaykh Abdul Haq al-Dihlawi rahmatullahi alayhi said, illnesses cleanse sinners from sin and elevate good deeds to newfound ranks. When a fever lasts longer than one's lifespan, along with uprooting all their sins, it then serves to raise them in rank. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The excellences of patience. Number one, Allah Almighty stated, when I test my slave in his body, wealth or children, and he welcomes it with sabr-e jameel, I will be too merciful to establish a scale for his deeds on the day of judgment or open his book of deeds. Number two, Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu tells of how he once inquired from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as to who encountered the most trials and tribulations. In reply, he explained, the Prophets alayhi musallam, then the best after them, thereafter the best after them. A person is afflicted with trials befitting his level of faith. If he is staunch in faith, his trial is accordingly severe. If he is weak in his faith, Allah tests him in accordance with his religiosity. Man is trialed continuously, to the extent all his sins are forgiven whilst he is still in this world. It is also narrated, patience is a treasure from the treasures of goodness. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Expiation for one's sins. The mother of the believers, Lady Aisha al-Siddiqa radiallahu anha, explains, when a person's sins are numerous and his deeds not enough to expiate them, Allah Almighty trials him with difficulties which become expiation for his sins. Laughing whilst in pain. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi announced, when Fir'aun found out his wife, Lady Asiya rahmatullahi alayha, had become Muslim, he called for her to be tortured. Iron screws were hammered into her hands and feet, after which she was flogged. During this, she cast her gaze to the sky and beheld the doors of paradise wide open, with angels building a palace for her therein. Israel alayhi salam, the angel of death, came to take her soul and said, this paradisical palace is for you. She rahmatullahi alayha laughed upon hearing this and stopped feeling the physical pain she was going through. She rahmatullahi alayha prayed to Allah Almighty by saying, my Lord, prepare for me a palace in paradise close to you. The noble Quran states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. And Allah made the wife of Pharaoh an example for those who believe. When she said, my Lord, make a house for me near you in paradise and grant me salvation from Pharaoh and his deeds and grant me salvation from oppressive people. You too must be patient like this when facing a difficulty. The eyes of your heart and inward certainty shall then behold the bounties Allah Almighty has placed in paradise, and you will find yourself capable of being patient upon the worries and calamities of this world. Show patience and express gratitude. The Shaykh once exclaimed, if it is in your destiny to attain a bounty or blessing, it shall most definitely come to you, whether you like it or not. If you are destined to encounter calamities or difficulties, and this has been decided for you, whether you like it or not, they shall befall you, even if you pray for them not to. Entrust your every matter to Allah Almighty. Be thankful for blessings and patient upon trials. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. masajid and salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Issuing valuable advice, the Shaykh once said, O nation of the Prophet, express gratitude to Allah Almighty as He becomes pleased with a small amount of your deeds in comparison to previous nations. Hold fast to the masjid and send abundant salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Desiring good for Muslims. On a Friday in Shawwal 545 AH, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi delivered a speech to fellow Muslims in his seminary, detailing the importance of empathy and wanting good for others. He declared, Praise be to He who bestowed upon me this passion to facilitate good for what He created. Bringing goodness to others is a huge facet of my life. I certainly offer you advice, yet desire no reward from you in return for this. My happiness is in you being successful. It would sadden me to see you fall into ruin. Utmost compassion. The Shaykh compassionately stated, My people, I devote energy to you only to please Allah Almighty. I bear such compassion for you that I would accompany each of you to your graves if I could. An answer, Nakirains, i.e. the two angels, Sayyiduna Munkar and Sayyiduna Nakir alayhi salam, questions for you myself. Subhanallah, what a wonderful expression of concern from the noble Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi. Who is most loved by Allah Almighty? On the 11th of Jumad al-Akhirah, 545 AH, the Shaykh was speaking at his seminary and said, O the wealthy, if you desire the goodness of this world and the hereafter, use your money to help the poor. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, explained, People are dependent upon Allah. The most beloved to Allah is the one who most benefits those dependent upon Him. Imam Abdul Rauf al-Munawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Mankind being referred to as a household is simply a metaphor. Allah has guaranteed them their sustenance, a fact which unites mankind as a figurative household. Yet Allah is free from having children, a household or a family of any kind. This hadith describes how He is their guarantor and sustainer. The sustenance of all is at the disposal of His mercy. Household in this context entails mankind's collective dependency upon Allah, as He alone can bestow upon them their necessities. Also bear in mind, good conduct includes worldly and religious good, such as guiding others to Allah Almighty, spending one's wealth upon them, teaching, being gracious, and displaying compassion, all in the most splendid fashion possible. Our Lord loves for His slaves to be bestowed with favours. This hadith also highlights the excellences of helping mankind with their needs and assisting them via knowledge, wealth, respect, permissible commendation, and anything else easy for one to do. Doing good for people in religious and worldly matters includes calling them to righteousness, inviting them to walk the path that leads to Allah Almighty, teaching them Islamic knowledge, being soft in your approach to them, showing them mercy, exhibiting compassion, and spending one's money on them. In short, all acts of kindness to people in religious or worldly affairs are included in benefiting them. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Consistent gratitude. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alay advised, I counsel you not to divulge news of any test that comes from Allah Almighty to anybody, be they friend or foe. Express gratitude to him instead. As who exists except they have a bounty of Allah Almighty with them. You yourself harbour a plethora, many of which you have no knowledge of. If you yearn for more despite already being at ease and having blessings in your possession, knowingly forgetting what Allah has granted you or deeming it minor and now complain to your Lord, He shall take your existing bounties away, punish you for your complaints, amplify your worries, and become displeased with you. Avoid complaining as much as you can. Do not complain, even if your skin is being cut to pieces. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi alayhi, recalls, My teacher, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi, once became unwell. I visited him and asked proverbially, What's the state of the complaint now? Complaint to who? He replied, I have never had a complaint about Allah Almighty before, nor shall I ever. How can a person have a complaint about Allah Almighty himself? After this, I repented from saying this proverb and vowed to never use it again. Our regular conversations are littered with complaints. Back complaint, stomach complaint, headache complaint. Before using the word complaint, one must ensure to stop and think who this test came from and whether it is right for one to utilize such words regarding him. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alay, via his efficacious discourse, lovingly advised us to never complain like this. As mentioned in the Noble Quran, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa idha maridtu fahuwa yashfeen. When I fall ill, he heals me. Etiquette with Allah means one should attribute illnesses, problems, and worries to themselves. One should not say, Allah has made me unwell, but instead say, He cures me when I am sick. Cure and good health are themselves bounties. Some even dare to say, Allah has deprived me of children. This is a grave statement. We must instead ask ourselves how much we obey Allah Almighty and act upon His commands. No matter what, one must not complain about Allah Almighty in any way. If one does hear a person saying things like this, do not be aggressive to them. Many say these kinds of statements, yet when they do, their intention is not to criticize Allah Almighty. Important point, difference exists between criticism and complaint. Some criticize and object to Allah's decisions. Whoever does this leaves the ambit of Islam and becomes a disbeliever. As for what is generally mentioned about health complaints, etc., which are not regarding Allah Almighty, no such ruling is applicable to them. Yet the account we just heard about Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh taught me to avoid using this wording as well. Reading Islamic literature. A new booklet is announced weekly during Madani Muzakaras. PDF and audio versions are also made available online. I exhort you to read or listen to Maktabatul Madina's literature and the books of Sunni scholars. Your knowledge will grow as a result. Learning Islam is now easier than ever. We used to go to a well to drink water, but the well of knowledge now comes to our homes and says, drink until your thirst is quenched. It is us, sadly, who are not prepared to learn, listen, and develop. If you make time for Islamic knowledge, the goodness of this world and the hereafter will come into your hands. إن شاء الله. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. Most beneficent. Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi explained, most problems you experience come because of your objecting to Allah's decisions. O careless soul, how dare you do this? Allah Almighty is more generous, merciful and kind than anyone or anything. He does not wrong his slaves at all. One cannot even accuse his gracious and loving parents, let alone Allah Almighty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explained, Allahu arhamu bi abdihi al-mu'mini min al-walidati ash-shafiqati bi waladiha. Allah is more merciful to his slaves than a mother is compassionate to her child. O slaves of Allah, have good manners and be patient when a trial arises. If you cannot withstand it, you must still be patient regardless. Follow what Islamic law says and be content with divine decree. Turn away from carnal desires and do not complain or object. If you do this, Allah Almighty shall amplify this pure manner of living for you and increase you in happiness, if this is your destiny. If you are destined for worry, Allah Almighty will protect you if you obey Him and keep you content with His decree. Your worries will depart eventually, as do they all when their time comes. Day always comes after night, removing darkness by its light. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi once said, my time of death draws near. I hope to die with my faith intact in Medina and to be buried peacefully in Jannatul Baqi. He, Allah, has the power to do this for me. May Allah Almighty grant us death in a state of goodness and burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Ease comes after every difficulty. My spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, rahmatullahi alayhi, stated, it has been commonly observed that you say, what can I do? Where can I go? How can I resolve my issue? I tell you to stay where you are and do not exceed your limit. Do not be impatient until the one who commanded you with steadfastness in this state sends ease and comfort upon you. He says, Isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu. Wattaqu Allah. Be patient and exceed your enemies in tolerance and guard the Islamic boundary and fear Allah. O believers, Allah told you to be patient and then declared for you to go to extreme lengths in this and hold to it staunchly. Fear Him when it comes to not being patient, as goodness and safety is in patience. A narration tells us, patience is to faith what the head is to the body. It is also said that everything has its stipulated reward, except for patience, as its reward is limitless. Allah Almighty declares, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innama yuwaffas-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. The patient will be granted their reward fully without measure. The Shaykh further mentioned, patience is the root of goodness in both worlds. Patience takes a person to the extent that Allah Almighty is pleased with them. Do not abandon it, as impatience will lead to your disgrace in both worlds. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The root of goodness. The Shaykh advised, if you seek to become pious and an individual who truly relies upon Allah Almighty, you must be patient, as patience is the root of goodness. When your intention is sound and you become patient only to please Allah Almighty, this will make you from those who attain proximity and love Him. And this will be your status in both worlds. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.